Teresa was going to continue the family series, and there was a lesson coming up that she wanted to teach. So this morning, we're going to look at the disciples' cross. Make sure you have one of the handouts. I think there's plenty on the table. When I shared my testimony with you last fall, I shared part of the disciples' cross. And in the fall, when Teresa and I were talking, I said I would really like the opportunity to share all of it with the class. How many of you have taken the Master Life class? Okay, just one. It is a wonderful Bible study. It's longer than the ones we normally take on Sundays at 5. It lasts all year. But it explains to you how to be a good disciple for Christ. And it has changed my life. It really has. The author of it wrote it when he was a missionary in Indonesia many, many years ago. And in Indonesia at the time, you didn't just give your heart to Christ and say you'd been saved. You had to work through this course and know your responsibilities as a Christian before you could join their church. I think that it's needed today for all new Christians, regardless of age, or for people like me who perhaps had not walked as we should have all of our lives and need to learn better how to be a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ is simply someone who makes Christ Lord of her life. And so that's what we're going to focus on, is how to do that. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You've got an empty space on your page. Write Luke 9:23 in the upper right-hand corner. I should have said in the upper right-hand corner first, so I apologize. What is the first thing that Jesus tells us to do if we want to be a disciple of Christ?
Deny himself.
Okay, we must deny ourselves or deny self. In other words, make him first in our lives. Now, look down a little further to Luke 9:26. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So we are not to be ashamed of him. We are to deny Christ. I actually have the wrong scripture written down here, because the verse I was looking for is, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus says we must hate our life and deny self to be his disciple. So I'm sorry I got the scripture verse wrong on that. But he does tell us to hate our own lives. This does not mean to reject our identity, but just to renounce our self-centered life. When we follow Jesus, we love him more than anyone else, more than any possession, more than any purpose. It's not easy to do. I'm selfish by nature. Yet I'm told to deny Christ at least twice. Excuse me, I'm told to deny myself at least twice in God's Word. So we must continually try to seek His will and not our own every minute of our lives. What's the second thing that we're told in Luke 9:23? Pick up your cross daily. So we are to deny self and pick up our cross daily to follow Him. Again, we're told in more than one place in the Bible to carry our cross for Christ. If I've written it down right, let's look at Luke 14:27. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. We're told to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily, multiple times in God's Word. When I was sitting in Bible study for Master Life, and I heard these two things, it was like God poking me on the shoulder and saying, "Are you listening? Are you denying yourself? Are you picking up your cross daily? Are you making the efforts to follow me?" And these two lead us naturally to the third part of Luke 9:23, to follow Christ. So we're told to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Him. Now, in the middle of your paper, draw a circle. That circle represents you. You must empty yourself of everything else and fill it with Christ. John 15:5 says, "If you remain in me and I remain in you," excuse me, wrong verse, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." All of the verses, as we describe the rest of the cross, are in John. The first one is John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Again, God was poking me on the shoulder, folks. You can do nothing without me. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Believe me, I've tried in my life. If you do not stay in Christ or have Him fill your heart, you miss some awesome opportunities and blessings in your life. Don't be fooled by the temptations of this world, but be filled with Christ and concentrate on things of great importance. If you want anything of significance in this life, you must concentrate on Christ and remain in Christ. You're part of Christ, and He wants to live His life through you. Is this the kind of life that you have? Think about it. So how do we remain in Christ? One way is to stay in the Word. Is to stay in God's Word. You cannot grow closer to Christ unless you stay in His Word. You keep God's Word in you by listening to someone teach it or preach it, by studying it or applying it in your life. But the best way, I believe, to keep God's Word in you is to memorize it. You might start by memorizing one verse a week. But you need to go back and review, or you'll forget. The younger ladies in the room need to start this now, because it's easier when you're younger. Right, ladies? Okay. So we need to know His Word and His teaching. Look at John 8, 31, 32. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8, 31, 32. That's an if-then statement. We do not automatically know the truth. We're not automatically set free. If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we must be careful to read the Bible in context and not just pick out phrases that we like. So make sure you get the whole verse. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Sounds wonderful, but we have a commitment to God first to hold to His teaching. I also believe pausing to hear God speak to you in the Word is very important. One practice I've learned in Master Life is to read a scripture and then in a journal write what I hear God saying to me. I reread it with pen in hand and write down what I'm hearing God say. And I've been amazed these past few months at the messages that have come to me from God in such a timely manner. And then I write what I say to God in prayer, based on the scripture I've read. It is truly a powerful time with the Lord. And since communication is a two-way process, we must also pray in faith to stay in Christ. John 15, 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given unto you." Look at John 15, 7. It reinforces the two things we've just talked about. "If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." So John 15:5 told us to remain in Christ. John 8:31-32 tells us to be in the Word and keep it in our hearts. And then John 15:7 tells us when we do these two things, to ask whatever our heart's desire is to God, to pray, and it will be answered. Now, that does not mean we always get the answers that we want, does it? Sometimes we have to continue to pray because God is building our faith. And God will never answer a prayer that's not within His will. And God won't answer a prayer the way we want to if He knows better circumstances are in store for us in our lives. So He always answers with His will and our best outcome in mind. As we pray, we shouldn't go directly into the desires of our hearts, but we should start with Acts. Okay, you see Acts at the bottom of your handout. The A is adoration, or praising God. It's praising God for who He is, not what He does. You might say something like, God, Heavenly Father, Lord of all creation, Yahweh, Jehovah, Creator of heavens and earth. You are all powerful, loving, full of mercy. You sit on your throne in all your majesty. Your Son, my Savior, is sitting at your right side. But adoration is praising God. And He longs to hear that from us. The C is confession of sins. We need to be specific in confessing our sins. We need to ask God to open our eyes to our sins. Sometimes other people can see what we're doing better than we can. And we need God to open our eyes, to make our sins visible to us, so that we can pray specifically for forgiveness. The T is thanksgiving. This is praising God for answered prayers, for things He's done. You know how it fills your heart to have things work out the way God wants, to have God answer your dearest prayer. But think of how He feels when we say thank you to Him. When you get a thank you note, which we don't write as much these days as we used to, from a child or a friend, it makes you feel like the effort was worth it. How much more must thank yous sound to our God, to our Father? How much more joyful can they be? The S is supplication. This is where we ask our heart's desire. We ask humbly and earnestly. And God wants to grant what we ask in accordance to His will. And there's two types of requests. Petition, asking for yourself. And intercession, asking for others. As we did this morning. Praying for others is God's will. And when we see answers to those prayers, we are blessed as they are. Petition and intercession. Individual and for others. God answers our prayers to help mold us into the people He wants us to become. He doesn't answer the prayers that we ask for the wrong reasons. 1 John 5:14-15. You don't have to look it up, I'll read it to you. It's 1 John 5:14-15 if you want to make note of it. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We must pray in faith in accordance to God's word and what He reveals to us. We need to read God's word, looking for directions to our lives. And pray to God before we make decisions that will affect our lives. And God is ready to grant us mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So we need to remain in Christ, remain in the Word, and then ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. The vertical bar up and down represents our relationship with God. But God wants us to have fellowship with other Christians. Look at John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Jesus said that the way to show that you are his disciple is to love one another. We have many opportunities through media today to listen to our lesson on the internet, to listen to a church service, to take an online Bible study. But there is nothing more precious than the time we spend together with other Christians. If you were lucky enough to attend one of the Pamper and Praise that we had for Patty Sue or for Penny Tilton, it was a time of reading scripture and prayer over her, but it was a wonderful, tremendous blessing to be in a room of godly Christian women who were all reading God's Word together and praying. And that's the kind of special growth that we have through being in our church. And the church is the structure we have to be in fellowship with one another. Not the building, but God's followers. So we need to be here so we can fellowship with God's people. Also, in relationship to others, we are to witness. We are to witness to others. Turn to John 15:8. John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." If you abide in Christ, you eventually bear fruit. The fruit can be the fruit of the Spirit or a new Christian. Galatians 5, you know this verse probably. Galatians 5:22-23 states, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So if we abide in Christ, we grow fruit. It does not always grow quickly, but it grows in season. And Jesus said that the way to show you are his disciples is to bear fruit. He's not just talking about missionaries witnessing to others. He's talking about us witnessing to others in our daily lives. Every Christian is expected to be a witness for Christ. So, as we're doing this, we want our life in Christ to grow and expand. And it grows into areas of ministry. When we stay in the Word, it might grow into a ministry of teaching or preaching. Through prayer, we develop a ministry of intercession. Through fellowship, we develop a ministry of nurturing. Teresa's always talking to us about nurturing others, nurturing younger women, children, new Christians. They need nurturing to grow in Christ. And witness grows into a ministry of evangelism. A ministry of evangelism. So these are the ministries that grow. And out of all of these things grows a ministry of service to others. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for a friend. That's what Christ did for us. He laid down his life. And he didn't just die. He suffered in anguish. He took the wrath of God for our sins. He died on the cross for me. He was separated from his Father for me. It's amazing. I'm in awe every time I think that somebody could love me that much. And I am forever grateful. And that is our example, to be of service to others. Now, we don't have to die. Hopefully, we're not put in that sort of situation. But we can easily be of service to others by taking dishes to friends in the class, like we're doing for Carol. By babysitting for a young mother so she can have a couple of hours to herself. Taking a dessert to someone or a dish to someone who lives alone. Helping your friends, doing little nice things for them. A phone call to a sick friend means more than you know. A note to a sick friend or a shut-in means a great deal. Just to know that someone is thinking of them means a lot. So we have five ministries. The total ministry of discipleship, of a disciple, there are five. The ministry of teaching or preaching, teaching Sunday school, substituting in Sunday school, leading a children's group, sharing God's word with a friend, intercession, the ministry of intercession, praying for others, the ministry of nurturing, and the ministry of evangelism. And the last one is ministry of service to others. The role of discipleship is expressed in 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man cleanses himself of the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. What's the latter? When I read that first, the first time, I thought, what is the latter? The latter is our lives before Christ, or the latter is when we are Christians, but we're not living in Christ, we're living in the world. I promise you, if you cleanse yourself of that and start living as a disciple, you will be useful to the master and prepared to do good work. If anyone this time last year has said, you know, the first next year you're going to be substituting in Sunday school for Teresa, I would have scoffed at you. Big time. But as I started going to Bible study and then coming regularly to Sunday school and then Master Life, and then I shared my testimony with you, I prayed to God daily almost that He would give me a purpose. I've been active all of my life. Staying at home most of the time is real hard. But I prayed. I knew He still had a purpose for me, or I would not still be here. So I prayed for a purpose and that I could be of service of Him. And I've been blessed and honored to substitute for Teresa on Thursday morning Bible study, which is a huge responsibility, as is substituting in here. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. I don't feel like I'm qualified. Yeah, I had a career in education for years, but teaching God's Word is a so much bigger responsibility. And I just pray that every time that I teach, that the Holy Spirit will fill me and God will speak through me to every person in earshot. I just want to be of service to God. And we all need to grow in all of these disciplines to be prepared for the Master's use. Amen? Amen. So let's summarize. Let's look at what we have. We have one Lord of our lives. One Lord of our lives. We have two relationships. This vertical relationship with God and Christ. That's horizontal, not vertical. No, that's vertical. And the horizontal being is relationship with others. It's been a while since I taught math. But we have two relationships. A vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with others. And we have three commitments that we must make. To deny self, to take up your cross daily, and to follow Christ. And we have four resources here. We have God's Word. We have prayer. We have fellowship with others. And we have witness. And we have five ministries that grow out of the four resources. Teaching or preaching, intercession, nurturing, evangelism, and service. And we have six disciplines of a disciple. To spend time with the Master. To live in the Word. To pray in faith. to have fellowship with believers, to witness to the world, and to minister to others. Six disciplines of a disciple: spend time with the Master, live in the Word, pray in faith, fellowship with believers, witness to the world, and minister to others. Amazing, the information contained in this one little visual, yes? And this can be a talking point when you're sharing Christ with someone else, or you're with someone who's struggling and they need an anchor. It's a powerful tool. By practicing these biblical principles, you will be able to abide in Christ and be useful to the Master's service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful, and you have provided your word for us as an instruction manual for how to live our lives in Christ. Lord, I'm so unworthy to teach your word and to teach this class. Teresa leaves very big footprints to fill. Yet, Lord, I pray that somehow through my stuttering this morning, that you spoke through me to these ladies. And that as each one of us starts 2011, we will recommit our lives to you, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross daily, and to follow you. That we will be in your word every day of the new year. That we will come to you in prayer based on what we read. That we will fellowship with others. That we will witness to the world. And that we will be of service to others, not for our glory, Lord, but for yours. Be with us this morning as we go into the worship service. Bless those who are ill. Please heal them and comfort them, and comfort loved ones who are suffering today. We ask all of this, Lord, if it be your will. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.